1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now it is the last part of this very wonderful verse that is before me tonight in the Gospel. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There are many ways in which preachers are at liberty to use verses within the scope of God's Word. And this is a verse that I delight to present to the souls and to the sons of men in the Gospel. For when the Lord Jesus gloriously and instantaneously delivered that woman from her defiling disease, He did it because He knew the moment would come when upon the cross He would shed His blood for her cleansing. Never forget that in these moments when the Lord Jesus miraculously and graciously blessed the sons of men. We will never forget that, I'm sure, and never let it out of your mind. While the Lord exercised power and grace and love and delivered these dear ones from the turmoil of their disease and their danger, He knew the moment would come when upon the cross He would give His life for them whom He had blessed. And every soul of which you read in this wonderful story, they were forgiven in light of the cross. And so I want you to come to the source of cleansing tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I want to focus upon the word blood. Often I make other approaches to this verse, but I want just to focus upon the word blood. And you will recognize, dear friend, and I want you to learn tonight, that this is the cost of sin. This is what it cost the Lord Jesus in order that any soul in the meeting tonight may be eternally and personally cleared and cleansed from their every sin. Our brother has made it clear that all the recommendations of religion and all the breathings of philosophers and all the ideas and figments of men will never cleanse a single sin nor remove the stain upon the character that sin leaves in every bosom and every breast of mankind. The cost of sin. You know, dear friend, the first use of the word blood in your Bible tells you this. It has a voice. It has a voice. Says God's word, using this word for the first time, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It's got a voice. And the only thing, dear friend, the only message, are you listening now? The only voice to which your ear should appeal tonight is this, the blood of Christ. It has a message, and it has a voice. And I needn't tell you that blood has a value. That is established in another portion of God's Word, chapter 17 of Leviticus, and verse 11. Says God, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. For the blood maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, dear friend, you listen to that verse, and you get it into your soul that the most valuable thing is the precious blood of Christ. And God has given it upon the altar. That is why every night, if we fail to do it, God forbid. But you know, friend, we'll try our very best to unfold to your gaze the glory of Calvary, the Christ of the cross, the suffering of the tree, because we're not preaching the life of Christ as a means of blessing. Now, I want you to get that very clear in your soul tonight, or we'll be making a mistake if we don't get it to you. I hope you get it now in your soul. The Lord said in those words, I have given it to you upon the altar. While that animal might have been the most precious, the most goodly, with all the appearances and features that would have met the eye of any person, for that person to bring it to the tabernacle and to take it away, he would not have what he's seeking for. That is, blood in the vein of the animal is not what God is looking for. He's looking for it upon the altar. And I want to tell you, friend, without the death of the Lord Jesus, without the shedding of His precious blood at Calvary, there is no cleansing for your sin. It has a value. And that's the most valuable thing, I would say, in the universe of God, because it tells me it makes atonement for the soul. It's got a value. And then, of course, the Bible tells me it has got a virtue. Man, a dear, when that awful man betrayed the Lord Jesus and received the 30 pieces of silver and knew the burning conscience they brought to his hand and heart and head, he went back to the men with whom he covenanted to betray the Savior, and he gave them back to him, and they said, we don't want them. And when he threw them back, he said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Has a virtue, friend. And it's because of the perfection, and it's because of the holiness. And I want to tell you, friend, it's because of the absolute sinlessness of that Blessed One. There is cleansing for you through His blood. He was holy. And He was pure. And then, friend, I want you to realize tonight that it has, now you listen to the word, for it's very vital for you to get the meaning. It has a verification. Now I'm bringing you to the Bible each time. You read the story in Genesis 37. Mark the chapter. Read it carefully. And you'll find a man looking at a coat stained with blood. And as that father looked at his son's coat stained with blood, there was no one needed to say a thing. What did he say? Putting it in a simple language, my son Joseph is dead. Why? As he looked at the blood-stained coat, it spoke to him of death. Now, friend, I want you to get this tonight. I want you to come to Calvary again. And I want you to see that hill blood-stained. Ah. And I want you to see, friend, that Blessed One, when they put the spear into his side, forthwith there came blood and water. It was a verification. What? Death. Death.
And I want to tell you, friend, that's what this verse is presenting to you. That's what the preacher wants to proclaim again and again. That the blood is a verification that death has taken place. A death that was acceptable to God. A death that met the claims of a holy God. A death that satisfied every demand that righteous justice and a holy God could require. And a death, dear friend, that's as powerful tonight as the moment it took place. And when eternity has ruled its endless ages, friend, that death will have lost none of its power, none of its fullness, nothing of its virtue, and absolutely nothing of its efficacy. And friend, though you may not believe it, and though the world may reject it, and though millions may spurn it, in the estimate of God, its value is untold and unceasing and unending. And I want to whisper into your ear, I'm glad that he died for me. I'm glad, dear friend, that that blood is operating on my behalf each tick of the clock, each moment of every day. And right now, it's working for me, cleansing me from all sin. The blood. Well, I want you to get this, friend. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Not good. What is that? Now, you think of this, friend, because if you don't, you'll miss the point. And that is in contrast to another person. Or if you like, another group of persons in the verse. For there's a little word that brings me in, and it's only of two letters, and it's us. And you see, if I looked at that word us, I'm going to have to call them the creatures of sin. For that's what we are. We're just like this woman Brother Jim was talking about. In all our unceasing defilement as it emanates from the throat, as we heard the other evening, from the mouth, from the tongue, nothing in this world will be able to staunch the flow of sin in all its contaminating power but the blood. Us. Oh, friend, you just for a moment think of Jesus Christ. What a contrast. The contrast to sin. Oh, no, friend, I want to tell you something. And maybe you don't know this, but it fills my heart with joy. This lovely verse doesn't say, and the blood of Abraham, cleanseth us from all sin. Mind you, Abraham was good. A wonderful man. I want to tell you, friend, are you listening? If God had put a million Abrahams on the cross, it wouldn't have cleansed one sin. Not one. You put a David there. You put a Solomon there. You put, I don't care who you will, friend. They were all like you, and they were all like me, creatures of sin. But the one that filled that cross on Calvary was Jesus Christ, holy, pure, and clean. Ah, but he doesn't end there, because the gospel has more to say. And the writer says, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. Not good. Who's that? That's the conqueror of sin. Isn't it?
And God, when he met the devil face to face, and the devil tried the antics by which he overthrew the first man, he found, friend, he was facing a different man this time. You see? The temptation. And then, friend, we have to remove a lot of things, but just come again to the cross, for I don't want to stay too far away from it. When that blessed person went into death's dark domain, the very domain in which Satan held sovereign sway, I want to tell you, friend, he conquered him. Conquered him. Conquered him. You want the parallel? You want a little story to help you? Can't you see David going down into that valley? And can't you see the giant that ruled and reigned supreme? And everyone captivated by the fear of this man that's holding them in captivity and threatening their very lives. David goes right down into the giant's domain, and there he slew him. It's Calvary. His son. And I want to tell you, friend, any man from Adam down had ventured there, he'd have been conquered instantaneously. But his son, when he rose again the third day, triumphant from among the dead, and the seal and the stone and the soldiers and the lot were all set aside. Friend, he's the conqueror of sin, his son. Now listen to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth. And when I go to your house and I sit down at your table, the first thing that you'll say to me lightly is this: do you take sugar in your tea? And I'll say no. So you don't need to ask me now. I don't mean you don't need to ask me for tea. You don't need to ask me, do I need sugar? Right? Why do you ask me, do I take sugar in my tea? You didn't ask me, did I take salt in my tea? Sure you didn't. You wouldn't dream of doing that. Because you know, in your own mind, that it is the property of sugar to sweeten. So you ask me, do you take sugar in your tea? And if I did, you would understand that it would make that drop of tea sweeter. Why? No matter where sugar is in the world, it sweetens. Are you listening, friend? It's the property of the blood to cleanse. Hey, that's it. It's very property, friend. Whatever you see it, wherever you meet it, wherever you hear it, whenever you experience it, friend, it'll always be to cleanse. A good. Somebody says it's its power. Well, if you like it, that's all right. But it's closer to get the point of the verse. It's its property to cleanse. That's what it is. And that's what John's telling you, friend. That's why our brother made it clear that whatever renovation you apply, whatever relaxation you try, whatever recommendation of man you employ, listen, friend, you'll have to come to the blood if you want your sins cleansed. It's the property of the blood to cleanse. The great David Ray was going down Cromick Street at 3 o'clock in the morning looking for a place to sleep. No 5-star hotels for those men in those days. And as he moved down Cromick Street in Belfast, he was urged by the Spirit of God to take off his hat and cry aloud, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a thing to do at such an unearthly hour of the morning. You listening? And the Spirit of God says, shout it again. And he shouted it again. And he hadn't gone another step until he heard a window and lowered. And a man put his head out through the open slot. And he said, Mister, I haven't been able to sleep all night. And that's what I'm waiting for. Eh? What? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Ray made up to the stir where the man was and led him to the Savior. Why? It's the property of the blood to cleanse. Anderson Berry, Dr. Anderson Berry, challenged by the world's religions and their representatives, as each portrayed the power and the greatness of their religion, he asked one, the Buddhist, what has your religion for sin? No answer. Went to the Hindu representative. What can your religion do for sin? No answer. I went round the lot. And he found them absolutely speechless on the matter of sin. They asked him to come and say a word. He had nothing to say. He stood before that audience and he cried with the top of his voice, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Would you let it in tonight? It doesn't say some sin. Why, that would be good, wouldn't it? But the verse says all sin. All sin. You don't remember them all. And I don't remember them all. And I'd like to forget more than even my memory forgets at the moment. And Luther, whenever the devil got them all before him and disturbed the man's soul, Luther asked the devil in his dream, have you more? I have, he said. And he put them all on the very wall before him. And in his dream, Luther cried, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Would you go out with that tonight? When that little woman touched the hem of his garment, she was touching in type a finished work. My wife makes dresses now and again, and I've asked her, and other ladies have confirmed, they never put the hem on until the garment's complete. And that's what she touched. And friend, I want you to touch the finished work tonight. I want it to touch you, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and our Father, in that precious and peerless name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus, we bow humbly and reverently before thee. We're thinking especially now of those that know not the Lord Jesus in this meeting, and would possibly long to know their sins forgiven and what it means to be cleansed by the precious blood. We pray that thou wouldst just bring them to Calvary. Bring them to the cross to see that Blessed One making a provision that embraces them tonight the moment they trust him. Oh, the blessing. Oh, the fullness. Oh, the power of that precious blood. Grant that its power will be felt tonight, known and experienced, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. two verses of a closing hymn, number 89. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. I'd like you to sing verses 2 and 3. Your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Verses 2 and 4, rather. Verses 2 and 4. And our meeting is over. Thank you for coming, and the Lord bless you with his salvation. Remaining seated as we sing verses 2 and 4 of hymn number 89.
Your mercy is the Lord. Thank you.